Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Infibeam Avenues Limited Q4 FY 2023 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajat Gupta from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Ranju. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Infibeam Avenues Limited earnings call to discuss the Q4 and FY 2023 results. We have on the call with us today Mr. Vishal Mehta, Managing Director, Mr. Vishwas Patel, Executive Director, Mr. Sunil Bhagat, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Purvesh Parekh, Head Investor Relations. Also joining us on the call today is Mr. B. Ravi, who is advising Infibeam on corporate and financial strategy as an independent consultant. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. I now request the MD, Mr. Vishal Mehta, to take us through the company's business outlook and financial highlights, subsequent to which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good evening to all of you, and a very warm welcome to the earnings call of Infibeam Avenues. I hope you have all had a chance to go through the presentation, which has been uploaded on the site as well as the exchanges. For Infibeam, FY 2023 has been a really iconic year. We've registered the best-ever performance with a total income for FY 2023 going beyond 2,000 crores for the first time in the history of the company. Our transaction processing volume reached 4.5 lakh crores. It's upwards of $50 billion during the year. If you compare year-over-year, the transaction processing volume has grown by 52%. We've added 3.5 million merchants during the year, approximately 9,500 merchants every day, taking the total merchant count to 9.2 million. It's been a very successful year, which has led to an increased business. The company's EBITDA for FY 2023 full year increased by 24% to 180 crores, and like-to-like PAT was up by 21%, crossing more than 100 crore mark for the first time. We are exceptionally delighted with the overall business performance. Our strategy of having a globally winning combination of digital payments and a software platform with a wide variety of different payment options and mix has been very rewarding. Our philosophy of going after profitable revenue growth and our central focus on offering exceptionally robust technology to merchants and banks have really helped the company scale to new heights, and we've achieved record milestones during the year. The combination of payments and platform has aided us in gaining a very strategic advantage and a competitive advantage to stay ahead in the business compared to peers. You can refer to slide 14 in the presentation, which gives you slightly more details. We've invested across the payment ecosystem to offer comprehensive payment solutions to both merchants and the banks. We offer payment acquiring, payment issuance, remittance through Infibeam's CCAvenue, GoPayments, and our investment in Fable Fintech. These offerings comprehensively cover payment industry, allowing us to build a very strong business and technology partnerships. We've extended our payment platform to manage payment infrastructure for top banks in India as well as in our international markets. This leads to a very strong and long-term sustainable partnership with these banks, providing us with a very good pipeline of merchants and a much better option for pricing. The same is evident from the growth of the merchant as well as the rise in the net take rate per transaction. We have pioneered many industry firsts in the payment business over the last two decades. The company has maintained a very frictionless relationship with both banking partners as well as the regulators and the merchants since inception. The company's robust bank-grade technology makes it merchant and banks' preferred payment partnership options. The company has also received two coveted licenses from RBI Payments, one which is the in-principle approval to operate as a payment aggregator in India, and the second one which is a perpetual license to operate as a Bharat Bill Pay infrastructure unit. This has helped us gain an edge in the digital payments industry by being able to gain market share in the utility space, where the company has made a lot of inroads in terms of gaining market share. It also signifies to merchants and bank partners of our robust, safe and secure payment platforms, thus giving us continuous and consistent business. In fact, since the receipt of the license, the daily number of merchant registrations has significantly increased. New banks have partnered with us to provide them the acquiring as well as the bill payment infrastructure. There is a lot more in the pipeline that we are working on. The company also has microservices architecture and software frameworks that has been built and that allows us to build highly scalable technology frameworks. This has allowed the company to provide this e-commerce infrastructure to large merchants in both India as well as international markets. Along with that, the company also offers e-commerce suites for merchants to jumpstart their online journey as well as host their data and offers a wide variety of value-added web services all under one roof. Our aim to build a very long-term scalable business centered around offering rich technology experience to merchants by simplifying their online business requirements will lead to a superior business as well as shareholder value. With this, I hand over the call to Vishwas to give you updates on the payments business. Vishwas, over to you.
Thank you, Vishal. Good evening, everyone. In FY23, the payment industry continued its growth despite fears that the industry might see a slowdown. The payment industry grew by a massive 61% in FY23, higher than the 56% growth seen in FY22. The P2M, the person-to-merchant payment industry, size in FY23 is estimated by us at around 74 lakh crores or around US 900 billion, which comprises of credit cards, debit cards, PPIs, UPI, P2M payments, and net banking. Various research estimates the industry growth in the range of 20 to 30%. We have assumed a 25% annual growth rate for the next 5 years until FY28, pegging the industry size to around 225 lakh crores or approximately US 3 trillion, generating a revenue opportunity of over 1 lakh crore rupees from the current estimates of 44,000 crores for the FY23. A CAGR of approximately 20% over the next 5 years. The digital ecosystem is expanding and the total addressable market continues to grow. If you refer to slide 11, with increasing digital revolution and the role of digital payments will be at the center. Infibeam Avenues aims to be the center of this revolution by providing payments across the board and be a preferred partner for the merchants and the banks. Infibeam Avenues credits a substantial increase in total income to the tectonic shift occurring within the credit card commission space. The payment industry is undergoing a significant transformation as it is being increasingly regulated. The implementation of government policies to oversee the payment sector and the protect consumer right has undoubtedly played a crucial role in enhancing fair play in the payment space. Added to that the VE and PE-backed payment aggregators are witnessing transformation as they are confronting three formidable challenges. Firstly, funding vendors, secondly, VC and PE investors prioritizing profitability above growth, and thirdly, the company payment brand CC Avenue, which has consistently avoided offering such heavily discount commission risk and thus maintained profitability since its inception. During the year, we scaled up payment business in India and international markets. The India TPV increased 25% year-on-year, while international TPV doubled. In India, we experienced growth from the COVID-impacted profitable sectors like airlines, hospitality, entertainment, etc. We extensively worked with the banks to provide them a robust payment infrastructure with high SLAs to ensure seamless payment movement. We onboarded new banks, we worked for better pricing with our banks, we raised prices up for merchants for their premium products and services, as well as we invested in new technology and expansion initiatives in India and international markets, like the launch of our mobile payment solution, the CC Avenue TapPay, that converts any smartphone into a point-of-sale terminal. The company's commitment to improve its unit economics, that is a net take-in payment business, to double-digit in FY24. And beyond, and is now probably now starting to take shape. All these initiatives that I mentioned earlier helped us improving our unit economics in payment business to 9 bips from in Q4 2023, from 6.3 bips in Q4 of FY 2022, which is up 43% year on year. All these initiatives will help us in reaching our double-digit net take rate target by the end of FY 2024. Please note, our international net take rate is already in double digits, as contributed from international business in future will further aid our net take rate. Additionally, we scale our express settlement business, that is lending to the merchants through our early settlement of payment funds. It will further increase to our net take rate per transaction. In India, we have a 9% market share of online credit and debit spends, and as per on credit spends, as per RBI data. Credit options, including credit card, EMI, BNPL, contribute 52% of the India TPV in Q4, and 46% for the full year FY 2023. We are particularly excited with the growth shown in credit card spends in April and May 2023. Credit card spends in April 2023 increased 26% year-on-year. The total spend in April 2023 was highest compared to all the months of FY 2022, except March 2023. We analyzed RBI data until 22nd May, and we are expecting 30% year-on-year increase in the credit card spend. This can also be attributed to the rising number of credit cards, which has reached 8.7 crores in April, from 7.5 crores in April 2022. Our online debit card market share is 7%, and we have estimated our net banking share at 3%. Given the number of payment players, including the banks, we think the market share in credit and debit card is commendable, as it also allow us to earn good margins compared to UPI, which contributes only 7%-8% of our India TPV. We anticipate our payment income growth trajectory to continue going forward, as we continue to invest in building superior technology solutions for merchants and banks, have a profitable balance of payment and industry mix within our TPV, build tie-ups with banks for providing them a payment infrastructure globally, continue to onboard new merchants, offline expansion through CCAvenue TapPay, do international expansion, and undertake such initiatives to create value for business and for the shareholders. I now hand over the call to our Chief Financial Officer, Sunil Bhagat, for his quick comments on the financial performance. Over to you, Sunil.
Thank you, Vishwas bhai. Good evening to all of you. Throughout the year, we worked extensively to expand business activities through multiple business tie-ups to gain higher revenue share and improve operating performance to generate higher cash flows, which we can use for further business expansion. I am pleased to state that in FY 2023, the company has registered the highest ever total income of INR 2,033 crore, an increase of 56% year-over-year, and sequentially, the total income went up by 81% to INR 674 crore, a very significant growth. Our annual transaction processing value was INR 4.5 lakh crore, an increase of 52% year-over-year, and the quarterly transaction processing value was INR 1.5 lakh crore, a growth of 61% year-over-year. Our gross take rate increased to 120 basis points in quarter four, FY 2023, on the back of 52% contribution from credit card payment options. A high combination of profitable and high margin credit and debit options has led payment net take rate to improve 9 basis points in Q4, FY 2023. That is up 43% year-over-year. With several initiatives in place, we are confident to take it to double digits by the end of FY 2024. With this performance, we registered an EBITDA increase year-over-year of 45% to 180 crore, and profit after tax increase of 63% to 136 crore for FY 2023. On the cost front, with zero debt, we do not have large interest burden, and the other expenses, be it employee costs or other administrative expenses, have been kept under control, resulting in the above-mentioned numbers. This has resulted in ROE of 7% in FY 2023, compared to 6% in FY 2022, and ROCE of 10%, excluding goodwill. Buoyed by this performance, the board has recommended a full year dividend of 5%. As we step into FY24 and beyond, we will continue to pursue profitable growth. I now hand over the call to the operator to open the floor for Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Rahul Bhangadia from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. Am I audible? Hello?
Yes, you are audible.
Yes, you are. Okay. Sir, first question, is there a methodology change in the way the TPV has been calculated? Because generally speaking, your take rates and your net revenue, they generally match out with the TPV. But this time, the TPV is almost 1.5 lakh crores, and you are saying the take rate is almost 9 basis points. But the net revenue of 92 crores doesn't match that. So just trying to understand the matching.
So Rahul, this is Suresh here.
Yes, sir.
So Rahul, our 1.5 lakh crore of TPV is a combination of what we do as GMV on the GeM platform, as well as what we process on the payments platform through the CCAvenue Payments payments portal. So between the two, we've also mentioned in our presentation that roughly about 51,000 or 52,000 crore is the processing that we had done for the payments platform. And roughly about 80,000 crore comes from GeM. And then there are other platforms like BillAvenue and GoPayment, which are also our other business payment platforms. So our payment platforms have done the 9 basis points on this 51,000 crore of processing that we've done in the quarter.
And how about GeM then?
GeM is on a per-transaction basis, but we've also mentioned in the past that as the volumes keep increasing, there is a volume discount as well. And our MD had mentioned in the previous call that this year onwards, on the G2G transactions, there is no revenue for the MSP.
Okay. So how do we model this GeM then, sir? While we talk about the volume going up and we have touched about 83,000 crores in Q4 on GeM, how do we model the revenue on that particular line item?
Basically, we'll need to give you some indication on removal of G2G transactions, which are not remunerative. That's one. And I think overall, if you look at the perspective, I think there is a slightly diminishing curve as you go through Q4 because in the beginning of the year, up to a certain threshold for the year, the numbers will stack up. But once you exceed a certain amount and a threshold, then the overall basis points go down. So what we can do is there are slabs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are slabs that are there. So what we can do is we can give you some indications of the slabs, and that may be a good way to model it.
Yeah. That would be really helpful. That would be really helpful.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And the second question I had before I go back to the queue was, I'm assuming, sir, this other income is purely all from the cash that we have on the balance sheet, whether it is interest or dividends or whatever it may be.
Other income is mainly cash, yeah. And there is some mark-to-market and interest on certain securities held by the company.
Okay. Okay. But broadly, it is deriving from the cash, not operational at all. Nothing else.
Correct. That's correct. That's right.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much for answering this question.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Gaurav Sharma from HSBC Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Sharma, please go ahead with your question. Mr. Sharma, if you have muted from your phone, please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Hello. 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 Am I audible?
We can hear you. Yes, Gaurav.
Hello.
Yes, Gaurav, we can hear you.
Yeah. Hi. Hi, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. So, two questions. First is related to the, we have seen that there is a slight decline in the share of platform revenues. So just wanted to understand the, like, going forward, what will be the steady state of contribution from this segment? And also if you can provide the steady state breakup of the payment contribution going forward for next 2 to 3 years. That is one. And second question is related to your TapPay payment services. So just wanted to know what are your expansion plans on this. I understand that you have given the download targets of 1 million for FY 2024, but how it will be contribute to the revenues and what will be contribution against the various other services like QR Pay, Link Pay? So what contribution it will have against these services? These are my two questions.
Sure. So if you look at slide 7, where we've actually given some indications on the gross revenue on a segmental basis, and if you look at the platform revenues, of course, on a sequential basis, on an absolute basis, it has gone up. But since the revenues, and this is net revenue typically, you know, whereas in payments, we do have a gross revenue as well as a net revenue. So if you look at the sequential 2022 versus 2023, we have done about close to 170 crore in terms of the platform, is about, you know, which is more than what we had done absolutely in the FY 2022 arena. So that's one. And the second piece is that, as far as the platform framework and business is concerned, we believe that, you know, we'll see, you know, of course, improved absolute number this year compared to last year as well. There's about a  6%-10% increase from year-over-year. You know, we believe the platform has a lot more capability to be able to offer to more clients. We have built out quite a bit of service architecture this year and reengineered it to be able to offer to more clients. And so we believe that there will be some level of expansion that you would see this year compared to what you would have seen year-over-year from 2022 to 2023. So that's the platform story. I think, you know, as far as the payments question is concerned, payments, of course, because of the growth in the payments which we have seen, which is exponential, because sequentially we've seen more than a 50% jump. We believe that, you know, in percentage terms, the platform revenue will of course be lower, because today also, if you look at the platform revenue, it's up 15% of the overall revenue, because it's net revenue versus gross, the one that you're comparing to. But in payments, TapPay is going to be a very important part of what we will be offering to our clients. Currently, we still believe that we'll go after the million odd merchants that we would offer TapPay solution to. You know, we think that in the next 3 to 6 months, you will start seeing certain merchants that you would be transacting with on a offline basis to utilizing the TapPay solution from us, which is CCAvenue TapPay. Of course, we've got plans aligned to be able to offer it to, you know, about a million merchants, because that will give us a combination of online and offline. We've not segmented our numbers yet. We've not communicated how much we are generating out of TapPay, but we believe that once we get to a certain scale and size, we will provide more information on how much TapPay is providing to us. But to your question, a million merchants is definitely what we are targeting this year, and we hope that, you know, maybe in the next quarter, the quarter after, at least you would have transacted through merchants who use CCAvenue TapPay.
Understood, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Yes, that was my question. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Mayur Liman from Profitmart Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, and congratulations on a great set of numbers. I just want to ask, recently you have entered into the strategic partnership with PayPal for global payment acceptance. Can you provide more details in terms of how would this partnership help us scale our international business? And what would it mean for our business growth out in those geographies?
Okay, Vishwas here. Okay, we have tied up with PayPal for allowing PayPal as a payment option in the markets of UAE and Saudi Arabia, where we are present. We dominate the UAE market. The payment options are limited to Mastercard, Visa, American Express, and some local net banking there. PayPal is an additional option where on every transaction we'll run out revenues. If you understand the MENA region, specifically UAE, there are a lot of foreigners or expats who live there, and they necessarily have PayPal accounts from their home countries there. So this kind of tie-ups help us increase the bouquet of payment options that we can offer to the merchants and earn on every transaction that we can do. So we get a PayPal around 700 million some wallets across the world that they have to be able to pay to our UAE merchants. So it's an additional payment option. Of course, transactions will scale. We don't report payment option-wise numbers, but it will count in our overall transaction growth in that region.
Okay. And the second one is the lastly, just wanted to understand that in 6 months of launch, we have only onboarded 150,000 merchants. What makes us confident that we will achieve the 1 million in financial year 2024? And what are we doing to tap and onboard another 850,000 merchants incrementally?
Okay. So, Vishwas here. We have seen exponential growth across merchants in India, right? And if you've seen, we have onboarded an average of more than 8,000 merchants every day, including these TapPay merchants and online merchants. Now, this is particularly because RBI gave out licensing, and we are considered the gold standard in payment gateway. Just like what HDFC Bank is in the banking circle, we have a premium on it. And secondly, most of the major PGs were not able to onboard online merchants. So the load was so much, so the focus again went into onboarding all these merchants. TapPay, you will see increased adoption in the coming months. We already have feet on ground through our subsidiary company, GoPayment. And through that, we are going to be able to scale it to 1 million merchants. I think the numbers will come. As of now, if you see, there are already 2.5 lakh app downloads of TapPay in the market. So it's growing significantly. We're pretty confident in the next two or three quarters, we'll achieve the 1 million merchant number wise.
To add to what Vishwas said, we've also opened up our SDK, which is the software development kit. So in other words, you can use whatever payment options that you want, but that will only happen through us. And that also requires a huge set of licenses and approvals from card payment networks, which I think we are one of the only ones who have it in the country. So if we open up the SDK, you don't have to replace the payment gateway. So of course, first initial part would be to offer it as a bundled solution with our payments, and then we'll also have an option to open up the SDK so that any merchant can enable tap onto any of the devices that the existing have.
Okay, thank you for the answer. And sir, you have already achieved the 4.5 lakh crore in FY23. How do you see the FY24 TPV movement and take rates? And also, how confident are you to get the GeM renewed given the latest development, as that will also define the TPVs in coming years?
Sure. So as far as our growth is concerned, we are still seeing very strong growth in April and May of this year. Year-over-year, we are looking at more than a 40% growth, 40%-50%. So I think so far the business looks strong. And of course, we'll keep on updating you in terms of how that traverses. But yeah, we expect that we're targeting a growth of about 40% year-over-year this year. That's one. And as far as GeM renewal is concerned, we made certain voluntary disclosures. We are currently not an MSP. We are part of a consortium in GeM. So this is of a national procurement portal and importance, and we are not a main service provider currently. We are a consortium partner. So we bring our expertise on software components and in specific the whole e-marketplace framework for the GeM implementation. And the implementation was for a period of 5 years. So, and it can be further extended to 2 more years. So basically, from the go live, we have it until December 2023. And that engagement will continue and it can be extended for 2 more years. Now the new GeM RFP, which you are referring to, that has come out. And, you know, that RFP gives 18 months for someone to develop a completely new framework from scratch from the time of award. So we expect that even if the new RFP is out there, it will take 24 months for a new framework to be established. And that gives us enough reason to believe that, you know, up to December 2025, that we will have a lot of work to be done for GeM. So that's the first part. And the second part is that while we have provided that in our clarification in terms of the status of the bid to become an MSP, because in the past GeM implementation, we were not an MSP. We were a partner vendor. Similarly, in the new GeM RFP, we had applied for being a MSP, which we have disclosed as part of our voluntary clarification that we are not in that race. So we will pursue the opportunity to continue being a provider to the new MSP, or we will look at the options of responding back to GeM in terms of being able to qualify us to become an MSP. But at this time, we don't have more information to provide to you. So in a nutshell, we believe that for the next foreseeable, you know, couple of years, we will have a role to play in GeM.
Okay.
No matter what the outcome is.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir, for the answers. That was very good. And best of luck, sir, for your business. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pranay Jain from Deal Wealth Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Over the next 2 years, what is the improvement that we are penciling or aiming in the net earning per transaction from 9 basis points that we've exited in Q4? Can it be mid or high teens, say by FY25 end?
We've publicly communicated that we will look for a double digit by end of 24. You know, I think the payment industry, like Vishwas had mentioned, you know, prior to Q&A, it's going through transitions. Established companies and funded players, they're looking for profitable growth now, which has always been the DNA of our company since the inception. And because of that, I think that's one dimension of why take rates are improving. Second dimension of our take rate improvement will be tap pay, because we believe that offline transactions where card is present has a different take rate compared to online transactions, given the risk profile is different. And so a combination of those two, we believe, will have a good impact in terms of how take rates will improve. We've seen you know, quite a bit of progress. While competition has been extremely heavy and funded players would want to take up business even at a discount, we've always maintained our position that we will take profitable business and grow. So if we continue that path, we may be able to achieve what we were talking about much earlier than that.
And to add to what Vishal said, the international processing, like in UAE, we are doing in excess of around 10 billion AED. That's already in double digits. And international business will also continue to grow, which is already a double-digit take rate.
So on a blended basis, I mean, at 9 basis points, if we are exiting Q4, double-digit is around the corner. I was looking if we have an aspirational number, say 2 years down the line? FY24 I've already understood, but given our investments in infrastructure and all the partnerships, I'm sure we would have some more visibility for FY25. I was therefore looking. Do we have a range at least?
See, in international, we will do 15 to 18 bps easy. And so I think that, you know, we believe that, you know, because of the funding arbitrage, where India is, you know, somewhat discounted by many of the players, which is coming to rationality, that would be a good aspirational number to go with.
Thanks. And with regards to the government thrust on, let's say, the RuPay card and how the MDR dynamics are, how do you foresee the growth of RuPay cards and possibly lower revenue from that versus other merchants like Visa, MasterCard, so on and so forth? So, as a market and as a player, how are we understanding this?
Okay, so from RuPay credit card perspective, RuPay credit card has the same MDR or the earnings that is there from a MasterCard and a Visa credit card, right? So that is sorted, and that's where the government focuses. As far as RuPay debit card and UPI is concerned, today both are under zero MDR regime, right? And the government is now paying the MDR on behalf of the merchant. So there is earnings that will come in for processing UPI and RuPay debit card. If you have seen other players already now booking that payment that is coming from the government, till today we have not claimed those, but we'll be claiming in the coming quarters the MDR that the government incentivized to process RuPay debit card and UPI.
Okay, so the framework from government side is pretty clear for us to claim. There is no ambiguity on that front, you're saying.
So there's no ambiguity. Government has sanctioned 2,400 crores for this financial year as incentive for processing UPI and RuPay debit cards.
Okay, that gives quite some clarity. And with regards to international business, while you have given a range, I just wanted to understand what more partnerships like PayPal are we looking at in other geographies, whether it is Australia or MENA or US for that matter, because you have indicated in your roadmap that more geographies are being actively considered. So other than our direct presence, what other kind of major partnerships would we be working on?
There are
so many. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So for every country has its own sets of domestic payment options and international payment options. So right now when we are going into Saudi Arabia, MADA is a payment network there, which works for all the local debit options. So that partnership is already in place. We're working on the last bit of certification. Similarly, Australia has its unique lots of local domestic network players as well as BNPA players like Affirm and others. So the local partnership in each market will continue. Like in India, we work with almost 200 plus payment options. That includes almost 100 net banking options, credit card, debit cards, all kinds of wallets of Paytm, Airtel Payments Bank, to lots of pay now, buy now, pay later, like Simple and many others. So those partnerships will continue. And for us, we are the intermediaries. The more options we offer to our merchants for them to offer to their customers to pay, we make money on every transaction.
To add to what Vishwa said, an aspirational partnership would be something like an Apple in international territories.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, please press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Meet Rash from Anubhuti Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So first question is in terms of gross revenue from platforms. So if I look at YOY growth, it's only 6%. The revenue has grown from 160 crores to 169 crores. While our GEM TPV has almost doubled from 1 lakh to 2 lakh crores. So what is the bridge to this? I understand that majority of the gross revenue from platform business is via Zen Portal.
Correct. So two things. One is that there is some G2G contracts, government to government contracts, and those government to government contracts, they are not remunerative to the provider. And so that is one. Second is that there is slab wise, diminishing curve. So what that means is that as you process more, the revenues will not be the same. And, what we'll do is we'll attempt to actually share that information with you as well, so that it gives some more clarity in terms of how this can be modeled.
Okay. So out of 2 lakh crore, how much will be from G2G contracts?
I will double check if the client provides the specifics, but we'll find out a way to communicate that information in some way, which is compliant with the client, disclosures.
Okay. And one thing, in some previous question, one of the management members has said 40% YOY growth in FY24. So I missed that part. What was that about?
In May and June of this year, we have seen a 40% quarter, the same quarter last year, we have seen more than 40% growth. So we continue to track it, but we are seeing good traction. 40% growth in revenues and transactions.
Okay. In so far,
for the same quarter last year, correct.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pranay Jain from Deal Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. I got dropped off. So I just wanted to understand on the domestic front also, what really could be the...
This is the operator. We have lost the line of Mr. Pranay. Next in line is Mr. Ayushi from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. So basically, I had two questions first. So you said that the GEM license, there is a possibility that it gets extended for 2 more years. Right now, we haven't really complied with the qualification according to the e-procurement site. So if the GEM license gets extended for 2 more years with similar terms, and the engagement is extended till December 2025, but sir, after that point, the major contributor to the platform business will cease to exist for the company. You did mention that they will probably be as a service provider, but I wanted to understand in what capacity and what kind of hit will the company's profitability take once the GEM license expires. Because sir, currently the platform business contributes 169 crores of revenue and 76 crores of profit. So sir, how much of this contribution is by GEM and how much is contributed by GEO and other platforms? So I know that you said that you probably wouldn't share the bifurcation right now, but sir, we need to know as investors because it is a very big contributor to our profitability and without that, we are left uncertain.
Sure. So, the reference that you made to in terms of our voluntary clarification of the bid was about us being part of us being a MSP, which is the main service provider. So to my clarification on the earlier question, today also in our current GEM contract, we are not an MSP. And we aspirationally wanted to apply in terms of being an MSP, which is where you are saying the public procurement portal says what it does. And we have, of course, reached out to the client for clarification on the same. Having said that, that does not preclude us from being part of a partner consortium, which means that we will look at the opportunities that are available for us post-25, whatever the decision may be, in terms of participation in GEM. The second part of your question is that how much would, what would be the impact post-25? See, the thing is that, the framework that we've also started building up on is extremely robust. In other words, we have many other clients who have approached us in the past as well to be able to take our services. And so depending upon what the outcome is, we don't believe there will be a significant change in terms of the opportunities available to us with or without GeM. We will track it. We will communicate what we are going to do in terms of participation. I think there are many international clients, given the scalability of the platform, the service orientation of the framework, and the opportunity to open up APIs so that you can build out in the way you would want. We see that there could be significant opportunities, perhaps some of them even more remunerative in certain cases than what we have right now. So we will evaluate our options and keep you updated. We don't expect a sudden change in terms of how we get compensated, in terms of our platform business, with or without the award. So we have certain options that we have thought through in place, and we will be changing and updating clients and communicating as and when required.
Oh, okay, so just as a follow-up on that, basically, can we take the capabilities that you've developed for GeM to other countries and other clients? Is that possible?
So, of course, it would be a different framework, not the GeM framework. To answer your question, can we actually build out a complete microservices architecture framework and give it to some other country? Absolutely, yes.
So, do you think there is a lucrative opportunity in the MENA markets that we are currently exploring a lot?
I won't go specific, but we see an opportunity both on countries and clients. Large conglomerates.
All right. So basically, the TPV guidance of 7.5 lakh crores by FY25, will that change considering that we have GeM, there is like diminishing revenue from GeM, as you mentioned?
Yeah, but currently we don't see that changing. So we think that the opportunities in front of us in both international markets are significantly large. So we will pursue them, and we don't see that, numbers changing as of today.
Okay, sir. So, and my second question is regarding a news article that was published in the Economic Times about basically Wavian may offer, Wavian International and International Business may offer that around 25% of its equity stake, and will be probably raising $25 to $50 million dollars. So I wanted to confirm the validity of this piece of news. Along with that, I wanted to understand what do you think about the valuation? Because if you're raising around, say, $25 to $50 million, that is around 210 crore approximately. So if you think that is a fair value for the subsidiary, and what will be, so if you could shed some light on valuations as well as plans for future.
See, our international business, in specific our UAE business, has grown significantly. We are number two in that region. We process more than 10 billion dirhams on an annualized basis across more than 6,000-7,000 clients. And of course, we believe that with the TapPay solution also opening up internationally, we can add tens of thousands of merchants in that region. So of course, that is a separate entity, and they can answer some of the questions much better. What I can tell you is that they would be looking at, growth opportunities from time to time, even investment opportunities from time to time. I think that's how much we can talk about at the moment.
Okay. And so just the last question I had. Last time I had asked a question to Mr. Vishak about the patents that we had filed regarding tap on phone for e-commerce payment. At that time, you had mentioned that you did not have an update on the application that we had made. So I wanted to inquire if we have an update as of now, because it's been a complete quarter.
Yes, Vishwas here. So you are talking about the patent for the tap pay thing, right?
Is that we tap on phone for a particular person's e-commerce transaction, not tap on the tap pay for merchants, right? Where you're at that particular shop or kiosk or basically as a replacement for a POS machine. But I think the patent was filed for paying on a customer's, like a customer can pay on their own phone for e-commerce transactions. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is as per my understanding.
Yes, I think I have to confirm with my this thing, but I think the patents for that requisite flow that you are talking about had been filed, but it stands for confirmation. I right now don't have insights, but our legal team were filing patents around 6-7 months back. I don't have the exact status of that application right now.
All right. Yeah. Okay, sir. Thank you so much for the answering my questions. I'll get back on to you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Krishna, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Krishna,
hello.
Please go ahead with the question.
Yeah, it has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Chandan Singh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me, please? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you can.
Okay, so I just wanted to know, sir, that though we have been talking about a lot in terms of percentage and transactions and money being made and into various geographies we are expanding, but as an investor, I do not see that it is getting transformed into share and stock price rising in the market. Do you think there is any reason associated to it, or do you think there's any perception which has been built over the past and that's the reason it's not really piling up well?
See, I think, you know, what we do is we control the inputs into what we do. In other words, we control the business and we control what we drive in terms of our goals and numbers. And of course, I think, you know, we can of course talk very fluently about those specifics. As far as the market and the market dynamics are concerned, you know, in the past, we were the opening batsman. We did not have peers. Now there are peers, you know, Paytm being one of them. As a fintech company, and as more fintech companies come in, there will be more understanding of the market and understanding of the business, and that understanding of the business and the scalability will perhaps create more understanding within the community in terms of how to think through such companies. So I think that you know, if you look at you know, how fintech has done overall, you know, I think that, you know, we're looking at the private markets versus how public markets are treated, we definitely think that there is a big gap, you know, how private companies get valued compared to publicly traded companies. Having said that, you know, and we think that we will continue focusing on execution, and that execution focus will lead to, you know, shareholder value. But I think we don't find a specific one particular reason. We think that as long as we can keep on executing, you must have looked at our performance for last year for the first time. I think for a company of the size and scale that we operate, you know, getting to a total income of 2,000 crores is a big achievement, we believe. And, you know, even this quarter, we are seeing strong numbers. We see more than 40% growth quarter over quarter for compared to last year. So far, I think, you know, we see the year being strong with our focus on international markets, because international is a single digit percentage of our overall number. We think that there is international can have the potential to be at least 25-30% of, you know, the overall transaction processing volumes. So we think that we'll continue focusing on that. And with TapPay being a very large opportunity to be able to reach out in the physical world, you know, we think that 23-24 is a year where you would want to walk into a shop and you would see CC Avenue TapPay as one of the payment options. I think if we are able to achieve those specifics, we believe that, you know, we'll deserve the investors through execution, and that, you know, the value will also show up.
I got this, but I personally feel that in case if some kind of attention is not paid in this area, this is not really going to progress. I definitely believe that you're putting a lot of hard work on execution, but we also need to monitor what is really happening in the external world. Whereas I can see that there are many companies which I see post a lot of information to several websites and they keep on coming as updates, which really helps the share value grow in a better way. So I think some of your marketing team needs to concentrate in this area as well. Otherwise, finally down the line, if it keeps dwindling down, you will not be able to raise a lot of money from public if required.
Sure, that's good feedback. We'll take that. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Ayushi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So basically, my follow-up question was that, sir, as you had given guidance earlier, so I wanted to understand what are your projections based for profitability, volume of transactions, and tax rate for the different segments that we have, looking at FY25, FY26.
Yeah, so Ayushi, what we have done so far is that we are tracking a 40% growth in the first 2 months of this year. Maybe in the first quarter we'll be having more information to share with you. But I think we would definitely look for a 40% improvement year over year across our metrics for this year. And
the 40% in each metric?
The metrics that we talk about is typically revenues EBITDA. So we believe that if we are able to track to that number, then I think we will be able to, and of course at the end of the quarter we'll have much better guidance for the full year. We'll keep you updated, but yeah, we'll be looking at a 40% growth year over year.
Okay, and so can you throw some light on like the operating expense increase that we had, like 600 crore increase in operating expenses? What exactly did we use it for? And so currently, as you mentioned, that some of our competitors such as Razorpay are not not onboarding new merchants. So I wanted to understand what we're doing about customer stickiness. And so I wanted an update from you about the NUE license that we had applied for. Has been no update from your end about what happened to that consortium, and like, are we going on, like, are we reapplying? I think there was some news about RBI not continuing with the NUE applications at all because we didn't receive any good quality applications. So what is the status about NUE specifically, and where do we stand as a company? Are we looking at other consortiums, or how do we go about it? Please throw some light on the NUE part specifically.
Okay. So from the NUE perspective, officially, none of the players have heard anything from RBI. They have not communicated. There were 7 or 8 consortiums who put up the application, and these are some of the best, not only India, but from global scale, right? And everybody from Reliance to Tata's to even international big tech, and everybody had participated and put in a lot of effort. So those 7 or 8 applications, till now, RBI has not officially communicated anything nor called anybody for any presentation or anything. One or two comments by some of the RBI officers is what we hear from the press, but at least we are heard by RBI or something, then we can comment on the NUE application that is there. Right, so I believe NUE is a very progressive step by RBI, and a lot of players have put in a lot of effort to build a network which is like a Visa and a MasterCard, right? And can help India gain that global domination. So that's part of the NUE update that I can give at this juncture.
So, sir, you basically are saying that the person that mentions on the press release is not to be relied on as of now because there is no official communication.
As I said, so we have officially submitted with a lot of paperwork and a whole lot of effort put over a couple of months with the 4 consortium partners that we had announced, that is Reliance Industries, Facebook and Google, and we had applied. officially to RBI. Similarly, 7 other consortiums were there. Till now on that application, neither have been to be called for any hearing nor any response from RBI on that application till now. Since we formally hear, we'll definitely communicate to you what is happening.
Okay, sir. So another reason behind why GEM wasn't considered, like basically our application as for the MSP position in the new GEM RFP, why we weren't considered? Some news articles mentioned that we didn't have a particular CMMI, as far as I know, certification for IT projects. So is that the reason, or can you throw some more light on why we weren't selected? Is there any is there any incompetencies on our end?
I think there were a lot of pre-qualification criteria to being an MSP, and that is being a main service provider. You can be a partner and a vendor, but there were significant number of criteria for companies to be able to become an MSP. And as part of being an MSP, there are certain specific requirements that had to be met. So I think, you know, short of actually going and saying that we have submitted our positioning, you know, today also we were not an MSP in the current consortium, but aspirationally we wanted to look at potentially being an MSP, and that is a clarification that we have issued as a voluntary basis to all. So and we've made the representation, so we don't have too much to share beyond that at the moment, Ayushi.
Okay, sir, I actually wanted to congratulate you on the fact that all the guidances that you've been given so far have been accurate and have been met with these results that you just posted. So, sir, I wanted to know your profit guidance for the next year.
So, Ayushi, I think that we will be able to provide, you know, much better guidance in the first quarter for this year. But we believe that a 40% growth on revenues and, you know, perhaps even in certain cases, EBITDA is possible for this year, which is what we target. But the exact guidance we'll provide after the first quarter.
Okay, sir. I will look forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. We have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining our annual call, and we look forward to having all of you participate in our first quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.